Would the devotees here mind moving a little closer? It's kind of like, Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading a number of verses today from 17 to 21, and verse 21 is on the board because that one has a purport. When does class go until? Even during marathon? Okay. Mahamunipur used to be my Sangirtan leader in a different lifetime. And I don't even know if he ever let us go to Bhagavatam class in December. No. We used to have some pretty intense marathons with Prabhuji as our leader. So when I see him and I think of December, it reminds me of certain things. Good memories. Okay. Bhutanam iha samvasa. Prapayam iva subrate. Devena katra nitanam. Unitanam svakarmabhi. Bhutanam iha samvasaha. Prapayam iva suvrate. Daivenai katra nitanam. Unnitanam svakarmabhi. We'll do the word for word for this and then go back and do all the translations. So we're starting with the translation to text 17. After performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. O king, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and the situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Sakuni, Sambara, Dristi, Bhutashantapana, Brika, Kalanabhi, Mahanabhi, Harish Masru, and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them as follows. Hiranyakashipu said, My dear mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable. My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Okay, so now we have a purport. Purport. Prakrite kriyamanani. That was pretty weak, but okay, let's try that all together one more time. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Where's that from? Chapter 3, verse 27, yes. All living entities act exactly according to the direction of prakriti, material nature. Because in the material world, we are fully under a higher control. Now listen to this sentence. This is quite a sentence. And this will be kind of the focus of the class. I think I got the right sentence. Let me make sure. Yes. Okay. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonments. As criminal prisoners scatter as soon as their terms are over, you know, so they get out of jail and they just go in various directions. All of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpools and later disperse again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. He was a smart demon. Thus, the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother, and nephews, was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they're called demons. The demigods, however, are very act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 13. Anyone know that? 1, 2, 13. I mean, you probably know the verse, but to know just the number. Ata pumbir vidashvesta varnashrama vibhagasa sanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll read that one sentence again. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. So I want to talk today about humility, then the mind, and then surrender, and then desire. All that in 40 minutes. Okay. So we don't have to worry about this sentence, right? This has nothing to do with us. We don't want to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment, and we are devotees now, so we're no longer conditioned by material nature. So we have nothing to worry about, right? No? Well, that's good, because you agree with Lord Chaitanya. Because he worried about it, especially after his first verse of the Shikshasagam, where he describes seven glorious qualities of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Right? He explains it in seven different ways. Chaito, Darpana, Marjanam, etc., etc. So we hear all about the glories of the holy name. So then we might think, okay, there's no problem. But then Lord Chaitanya says, well, there's a problem. And the problem is that, of course, in his humility, he's saying, I'm not getting the results. Right? What is the last line of the second verse of the Shikshasakam? Dhaivam, nanuragaha. I'm supposed to say all these great things, right? Chaito, Dharpana, Marjan, Bhava, Mahada, Vagni, Shaya, Kairava, Chandrika, all these wonderful things. But he's saying, not me. I'm not experiencing all of those wonderful results that I'm supposed to be experiencing in the first verse. So then we might predict that the third verse is going to say, oh, TK, don't worry. Everything's okay, right? Once you become aware of these obstacles, your chanting, you know, the effects of your chanting will be proper. And it might be another glorification of just all the things that are going to happen wonderfully when you overcome these few problems. But that's not what we hear, right? We hear something very different. We hear that the result of experiencing nanuragaha, you know, experiencing all the anartas, the attachments, the offenses, is that we should become humble. Not only should, it's necessary if we want to experience all those wonderful things that we heard about in the first verse and in the first half of the second verse. And not a matter of fact, oh, I hate when this thing vibrates. Anyway, this is, if Gauranga Priya Prabhu is listening to this, that is Lakshmi Moni Mataji calling. She's probably concerned that she's going to be picked up at the train station. Okay. So this gives us the real clue of chanting properly, because when we're faced with our anartas, when we're faced with our attachments, when we're faced with our what is that, asat trishna, that, you know, that our attraction, our thirst, trishna means like thirst, right, our thirst for the asat. When we're faced with our hridaya durbalyam, our the weakness in our heart, when we see the envy, and, you know, envy is just such an amazing thing. You know, anything can make us. You know, I came to Mangal Arti today, and I thought, well, they asked me to lead the other day, but I was a little sick, so maybe they'll ask me to lead today. And then Atmananda Prabhu starts, why did they? You know, what about me? You know, the mind just will, anything, the mind will become a pratishta. So if there's a very dark room that we haven't been in a long time, and we haven't visited it, and it's accumulated all kinds of filth and dirt, and then we decide, okay, well, maybe I should go in there and check it out and see what's happening. And we turn on the light. And what we see is awful. Oh, my God. So that's what happens to us. And that's what is meant to happen to us when we come up to the third verse of the Shikshastakam. We look in our hearts and we say, oh, my God. What a mess. And naturally, at least hopefully naturally, we become humble as we turn on that light and we see what's really there. And that's the first result when we say, okay, Krishna, I'm really going to try to muster up some sincerity. And I think, you know, we all have, I know I have this example, well, I have this experience, I'm sure we all do, that the first thought we have when we try to become sincere is we're faced with our unlimited insincerity. It's scary. It's scary that there's so much insincerity, and we look at the mess that we have in our heart and we think, oh my God, what am I going to do about this? And that's all part of the Krishna conscious process. That's good. Because even, you know, Lord Chaitanya is speaking like that. And that hopefully in our heart awakens humility. And that humility should then translate into, wow, I really don't have any other shelter. There's no way I can clean up this room by myself. No, there's no way. you know. Atmananda Prabhu leads Mangal Artik and my mind becomes envy. What to speak of like big stuff? You know, there's no way I can clean this on my own. It's not possible. And therefore, this verse comes: Trinada peace unichin. So, what does Trinad mean? Blade of grass. Right? Sometimes it's also a straw, right? So, and then sunichina? Lower, right? Because like Nietzsche, right? It means lower in Hindi, and right? So, lower than that. And why should we be lower than a blade? What happens when you step on a blade of grass? And that's right. And then what happens when you walk away? Yes? It comes back up, right? Yes. So therefore, sunichina, lower than the... And that's what our mind usually does, right? We may become humble for a couple of seconds, you know. But then... Right? The false ego springs back into action. But really what we're meant to do is we're not meant to get back up. We're meant to remain in that humble state of mind. And I'm sure we all know the mind does not like that situation. You know, you tell the mind, no, lower than the straw on the street, lower than a blade of grass. You know, okay, so you're humble for a few minutes. Don't get back up. No. The mind's business is to protect the false ego. That's one of the main businesses of the mind. And we have this experience, right? If somebody criticizes us, what does our mind do? Our mind tends to think of all the different reasons that that person is a fool. Right? And if someone praises us, the mind's tendency is to think, oh, he understands correctly, right? So when we're confronted with our lacks, with our faults, with our insincerities, with our attachments, with all these dirty things in the heart, the mind's business is to build up again the false ego, right? I'm sure we all, I mean, I don't know what your mind does. My mind says, well, you know, actually, you're not so bad. I mean, look at so-and-so. He's much worse. Right? Has it ever do that one? Do your mind ever do that one? No. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm not the greatest devotee in the world, but I'm doing a lot better than so-and-so. So that's the mind's business. And the duty of a devotee is to not let the mind rebuild the false ego. But rather, the duty of the mind is to, the duty of a devotee is to take shelter of Krishna. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So, and then what to speak? Amani na mani dena. Well, you know, the mind's in that, wait a second. Okay, that one's too much. Because it's, and for the same reason, it's really difficult for us to regularly, sincerely give respects to others because, again, another part of the false ego is that it likes to measure ourselves against others. And it does that constantly. It's like a broken record. Of course, nowadays there's no... The analogy of a broken record for somebody who's under 30 may not make any sense. But previously, when there was such a thing, music was actually on records, and if there was a scratch in it, you would hear the same thing again and again. It wouldn't go on to the rest of the song or the rest of the lecture or whatever. It would just... So the mind is like that. It's like a scratched old record, LP. And it constantly has its tendency to measure ourselves against others. And that's what's explained here in this verse, because specifically what the false ego does is it wants to prove, and I know this may sound weird for a devotee or even, but on a certain level it wants to prove that we're the supreme. Right? Or at least we could say, you know, Ishwaraham Mahambogi, that we're the enjoyer. And here the verse says... That the purport rather says, All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment. And prior to enjoying, one has to control. Right? You can't. It's necessary to be a controller in order to be an enjoyer. Therefore, that verse says, Ishwaraham, aham bogi. So, our mind doesn't want to accept the actual reality that we are a servant of Krishna. And not only a servant of Krishna, an insignificant servant of Krishna. Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I don't know if I... Okay. No. Excuse me for a second, Prabhu. An insignificant... That's really painful on the false ego. Insignificant. You know, that means that all the big positions are taken. You know, you can't become Sudhama in the spiritual. You can't, you know, Subal, Madhumangal... right, you know, Sudevi, Chitra, occupations. They're all occupied, and not only that, but they're occupied eternally. Right, you can't be, because there's a tendency, right, to want to climb the ladder of success. So first you're a new bhakta, you get initiated, second initiated, become the temple commander, sangathan leader, vice president, president, GBC. But, you know, it kind of stops at a certain place. You can't... Madhumangal, no, sorry. It's taken. So not only are we servants of Krishna, we are actually insignificant servants of Krishna. That's reality. And so because we don't like that, we need a false sense of self. We need to be placed into illusion. So regardless of what the specifics are of that false identity, right? Because like you just go out on the streets of Bombay and everyone has their own specific illusion of who they think that they are, right? Somebody's a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, and all different kind of things. But they all have in common what Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, that we all want to be the center of the universe. I remember a song, maybe... Mahan Muni or Maharaj remembers this song. Hopefully you don't. but actually, it was a pretty Krishna conscious song for considering the old songs. But you need to know a little bit about rock and roll bands. The person who plays the rhythm guitar, they're not very special. They don't do anything very fancy. They just hold the neck of the guitar like this and just strum along. It's not a very prestigious position. So the song goes, and of course the big famous person is the lead singer. Right? So the song goes, no one wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everyone wants to be the lead singer in the band. And that's kind of a good, I thought that was a pretty good analysis of what's going on. And therefore, we try, everyone tries to order the universe in such a way to fulfill what Srila Prabhupada says here, to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment, and also, therefore, to be equal to Krishna in controlling. And obviously, that causes so much anxiety for the living entity because it doesn't work. I think we all, probably one of the reasons, at least for a number of us that we're sitting here today, is because we beat our head against that wall of trying to figure it out for so long. We say, shoot, this really, really doesn't work. It causes so much anxiety. Trying to convince others that we should be the center of the universe. And even if that works, try to convince material nature that we're meant to be the center. This is asura bhav, right? Ishwaraham aham bogi. And that's the business of the false ego. And this third verse of the Shikshasagami, it rips apart that false ego's mindset. And therefore, we tend not to like it. Okay, so that's a little bit about the mind. Now, we look in our heart, and we see this mess. It's not a total mess, of course. Everyone who's sitting here today naturally has a desire to serve Krishna, or else we wouldn't be here. But even Lord Chaitanya, when he said, he looked at it in his heart and said, Nanu Ragaha, so we can, following in his footsteps. So we see the mess, and then we think, then there's this word surrender. Now, sometimes this word surrender has different meanings. You know, it has sometimes a practical meaning. I say, you do. And certainly when I was a Sangirtan devotee and Mahamuni Prabhu was my Sangirtan leader, I certainly tried to surrender to him. And any good fortune I have today is probably because I tried to satisfy him, because he wanted to satisfy Srila Prabhupada by our efforts in Sankirtan. But sometimes it indicates that we have no choice. And certainly, you know, if you think of the word surrender, like why does one army surrender to another army? Why? They're losing. Yeah, they have no choice. Right? It's just you have no choice. So it's also true that we have no choice, but it's a bit different. If we want to attain Krishna's lotus feet, if we want to become pure devotees, then we have no choice but to surrender. Of course, we can all, none of us have to surrender. It's a free world. We can walk out the door right now and, you know, go do some silly thing. Right? So we have that free choice. But if we actually want to be a devotee, and then we look at our unlimited inability to actually become a devotee, that is should be our impetus to surrender to Krishna. And then we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where is it from? Is it from the Hari Bhakti Vilas? But anyway, there's that verse, Anukulyasya Sankalpa, right? Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshishya Titi Vishvaso Gotripve Varanam Tata. What does Gotripve Varanam Tata mean? Anyone know? The Krishna's maintainer? Let's see. Atmanik Shape. What's the one before Gotripve? Anukulya Sankalpa Pratikulya Rakshishati. Krishna's our, yes, right. Krishna's our protector is Rakshishati. Then, yes, Gotripve. He's our maintainer. He's our shelter. Is that basically right? Yes. And Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that of these six, this is the essential one. This is the key that all the others rest upon. And that is putting ourselves fully under Krishna's care as our guardian, as our maintainer, as our protector, giving oneself up to Krishna's care. And the example he gives is like a cow under the care of a master. The cow is tied up with a rope, and if the master decides to feed him, then she's fed. If the master decides not to feed her, then she's not fed. And this is why Sharanagati is so difficult to obtain or to do, because it means placing ourselves fully under someone else's care, even if that someone happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this requires, you know, a lot of faith on our part, it is a natural result of looking inside our heart and seeing how I can't do this on my own. I need help. And that's when Krishna consciousness really starts flourishing, when we come to that understanding, I really need help. And then we become, as you know, Sripad Bhakti Tirthamaraj would say, become a beggar. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this in his Harinam Chintamani, that's why this second verse is a precursor to the third verse, that our chanting, as we gradually give up the offenses, leads to a deep humility. And he talks about working on the quality of our chanting, not just I finish my number of rounds, right? And how we actually, to overcome distraction while chanting is impossible without mercy, without help. We can't single-handedly overcome distraction while chanting. Only by Krishna's mercy. So therefore, we pray with great humility. You know that example Prabhupada gives of the crying of a child for its mother. So how many of the ladies here have children? One? The ones who have children aren't here, right? They have to take care of their children. So, but anyway, even as a father, I kind of experience this, but every mother knows that there is a different scales of crying that a baby has, right? There's ones when they're a little hungry. There's ones when they just want attention. There's ones when there's a little discomfort. And then there's the one when they only want one person in the world, their mother, and they want them right now. And that cry pierces, well, to mothers, from the mother's point of view, it practically pierces the coverings of the universe. Right? It goes right to the heart of the mother, and the mother drops everything when she hears that level of crying, because she knows the other ones, and she knows, okay, TK. Right? Yeah. Right? But when she hears that one, that, right? Mataji? Yes. That, then she drops everything and runs to the child. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about when he says, he uses the word genuine, right? He says, the genuine cry of a child for its mother. But generally, at least I can say for myself, I don't beg. And that's because, I don't have such a great taste. I'm quite happy in this world. Well, there's a few bumps in the road every now and then. But, it's not so bad. And that is not going to get me Krishna's attention very quickly. That kind of mood. Yes, I chant my 16 rounds. Hare Krishna. Everything's kind of on automatic pilot. And I don't know if because I guess the traffic in India, you wouldn't have them, but in America, most cars have cruise control. Right? If you want to go 100 kilometers an hour, you press on the gas so you get to 100, then you press a button, and then it just automatically goes 100 kilometers an hour until you touch the brake. So sometimes we kind of put our japa on cruise control. Right? We get it up to 16 rounds, press a button. Right? And therefore, the next part of what I wanted to talk about is about this point about desire. Right? And Prabhupada even, he translated that word, Krishna, that phrase, Krishna consciousness, from that verse, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavati mati, kriyatam yena kutopi labhyate. Was it tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam? Right? That the price that we pay to be a devotee is this loyam, is this really, really, it's that cry of the child. Really, really wanting and really, really taking shelter of Krishna. Then the question might stop, what stops us from taking that deep shelter? Well, it's all that lack of taste that we have, all that garbage in our heart and our mind. And therefore, when our desire isn't strong during our chanting, our mind goes here, goes there. And therefore, we really have to work on surrender, working on our true identity, because that real sharanagati is that feeling that of belonging to Krishna, that we put ourselves in His hands. It's a spiritual psychological effect that I belong to Krishna. What is that? Tadiya, isn't that right? Kind of what it is. I belong to Krishna. And that's really the beginning of true bhakti. And therefore, we can test ourselves, especially when there's some difficulty. There's always something, right? Like I said, it can be a small one, like, someone else leading Mangal Arati besides yourself. Right? There's so many different things. And where does our mind go when there's some difficulty? Because remember, the false ego demands that we try to, that the universe organizes itself around what we want. And therefore, the mind gets so frustrated. But generally speaking, when things don't go, it just immediately, if we don't take shelter of Krishna, the mind starts just pointing out into the world of Ichha and Dvesha. And we just start seeing everything in the world according to that. I like, I don't like. Bring this thing closer because I like it. Keep this thing further away because I don't like it. And it's interesting, the mind spends just as much time on dvesh as it does on what we really want. And therefore, we know, of course, people try to take shelter of so many things to try to find that satisfaction. A new car, a new job, a new wife, a new this, a new that, so many things. But what happens to us as devotees? Do we immediately try to adjust material nature? Right? And turn the knob this way a little bit, turn the knob that way a little bit? Or do we first, you know, think of Krishna? Just like Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanusmara Yojicha. Krishna tells Arjuna, right, to first you Mamanusmara, then you do your duty. You do your fighting, right? So do we take shelter of Krishna? Because all these little mini problems, they're good preparation for the maxi problem, right? The time of death is the big, big issue, right? And we kind of think, every day we wake up, we go to sleep thinking, we're just going to wake up tomorrow when it's going to be just like today, right? I'm going to be the same healthy person and take some nice prasadam and do this. But there comes a day when we don't wake up in the same healthy state, right? Just like, what was it, Raghupati Prabhu? Right, he was probably, I'm not criticizing, he's a billion times better devotee than me, but then one day, right? Or even our Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he just got malaria, right? But every little, even the little things that happen, they're opportunities for us to make sure that our alignment of our identity is in the right place. That we're really identifying as Krishna's servant. And that we really no longer want to take shelter of so many things. Isn't it a pain in the neck taking shelter of the mind? I mean, it's really, really not such a fun thing. So this requires some real seriousness on our part. And therefore, I'll just finish by this three. So what do, practically speaking? Well, the first thing we do is we survive. We go on with our Krishna consciousness no matter what. No matter what difficulties. We are Krishnas. We are our spiritual masters. We are Srila Prabhupada's for this life. Sold out. There's no question of doing anything else. Okay, we have our ups and downs and our mind goes all over the universe during our japa. You know, I'm on this program. I'm on this struggle I'm a lifer. You know, in a prison system, if a person has a lifetime, you know, without parole, they're considered a lifer. So we're a devotee lifer, or many, many lives maybe, but, right? Next, really work on our sincerity and associate with sincere people. And finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about really hear the Shastra regularly. This combination of chanting sincerely and hearing the Shastra helps us actually align our mind, quiet our false ego, align our consciousness with reality. And if we do that, we can actually attain this true humility. And if we really find that we can take shelter of Krishna as that child cries out for its mother, then that's a great jewel. And that jewel will ultimately bring us to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So there's some time for questions, comments?
Yes, Prabhu. You were talking about this helplessness which we are supposed to get in this material world. And when you have this helplessness attitude, then only you can cry out to Krishna. And slowly, slowly we understand we have so much anarthas. And we understand that our false ego is so strong.
Right.
And from that, we understand that without Krishna or without Guru Maharaj mercy, I have no hope practically in this material world.
Right.
But I want to know that how is it possible for me to get that helplessness nature in my life in such a way that as and when I spend more and more time in Krishna consciousness, my helplessness nature should go on increasing so much so that a stage comes in my life that except Krishna, I absolutely no hope in my life in this material world. Unless until we don't have, as you said, we will have no hope to go get a pure devotional platform. Correct? So I would like to know that what is the thing which I have to keep in my mind continuously so that as and when I spend more and more years in this Krishna consciousness, helplessness nature should go on increasing.
Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. I mean, you know, and that of course means a lot, but the point is if we're hearing regularly from Srila Prabhupada's books, regularly, and applying our intelligence to them, they act as a non-stop reality check. And it's often when our hearing and chanting becomes a secondary practice, right? We think our service is so important, our daily activities, that we start giving less attention and less seriousness to those. Then our consciousness starts waning. So associating with devotees, just basically the practice of Krishna consciousness, if we do it regularly and intently, then we'll be successful. Now, the question could come up, well, what about practical life? Right? You know, because we can say, I'm helpless, but, I can tell you a story about it. One time, I heard this on a tape. It was a morning walk. And a devotee was encouraging Srila Prabhupada to reminisce about the old days, you know, the early days in the movement. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, you used to tell us that the old days were so wonderful, you know. And he was trying to like encourage him, right? And Prabhupada then he said, very soberly. It wasn't, you know, the devotee was kind of light and let's hear some pastimes kind of thing, you know, like a Shruti Kirti Prabhu session or something like that, you know, really kind of like. My Prabhupada said, yes, in the old days, I never had to chastise anyone. Right? Because, in the beginning, he was just encouraging, right? So it was his service to be like a general and to have to. But he was thinking that, you know, he didn't necessarily enjoy that on a certain level. Right? He had to do it to correct devotees and make sure that our movement, it was getting so big and expanding so quickly that he kept it on the straight and narrow. So he had to act practically, right? Chastise, which you could say is sometimes antithetical to the idea of helplessness and humility. But we do that if that's our service. But therefore, even more so why it's important to hear and chant. Because if we're a manager, this is one of the tricky things about being a manager in ISKCON, because sometimes when we manage a lot, there's just so many immediate things in front of our face that have to get done. And, you know, that even devotees' consciousness or their, you know, their, the movement depends upon. And sometimes our hearing and chanting goes the wayside. So we work for Krishna. But if we don't hear and chant enough, it becomes work, and we forget the four Krishna. So that's something that we have to be careful of. So we have to act practically in this world. You know, that means even sometimes chastising people. I was once went out on book distribution with Gunagrahi Maharaj. And he's a very sharp person, you know. And the person tried to kind of knock him over with that. We were in the airport and tried to, one of the pastimes of business one would try to hit us in the knee with their briefcases. Remember that? Yeah. And so the non-devotee told Gunagrahi Maharaj, get a job. And Maharaj told him, get a brain. And the guy said, I got a brain. Maharaj said, use it. You know, it was really, sometimes you can say, well, that wasn't very, but sometimes in our preaching and we're, as Srila Prabhupada also said, that we should be like lions in the chase, just like this is the book distribution marathon, right? Lions in the chase and like lambs at home. Unfortunately, sometimes we get that in reverse. we're like, would you like one of these books? We're very, you know, but then when we get home, Prabhu, you do this. You know, he's such a nonsense rascal devotee. You know, so we sometimes kind of, you know, get it in reverse. So we have to be careful about that. But it does take some maturity to apply this idea of dependence on Krishna in our practical day-to-day lives. Other points? Yes, Prabhu. I don't think that's on.
Mind is against us most of the time. It's.
Have you ever experienced?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
But
that makes two of us.
I think it makes all of us. But there's this idea of mind over matter, and matter is, you know, materialism. So we're supposed to use our mind over, you know, to rule over what wouldn't normally be materialism.
Right.
So,
right.
But ironically, it often leads to materialism and leads to an increase in the false ego. So what are some, do you have any tips or pointers that we can actually just use our, because we're supposed to engage our mind in service. So how can we do this properly?
Yeah, well, you know, the mind is a material element. So on a certain level, you know, we talk often on different levels in Krishna consciousness. So on a certain level, the mind is just neutral. You know, it can be used for, like a knife can be used to, in Prabhupada's example, kill somebody, save somebody, a surgeon, right? So the mind is a very powerful thing. And if we use it in Krishna's service, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vintayo, it can lead us right back home, back to Godhead. Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Najatichit, right? To always remember Krishna and to never forget him. Tasmatsaveshu Kaleshu Mamanu Smara Yudhicha, to always to remember Krishna and then do our duties. So it is a most wonderful tool to use in Krishna's service. The problem, of course, is that we don't. It's very hard to always keep it engaged. You know that there's that. Are you familiar with that that play? I don't know if we put it on so much these days. The genie. What is it? The genie and the. What is that? You know that one with the. You know the genie says, as long as you keep engaging me, I'll do whatever you want, right? But the second you don't engage me, right? We used to do that drama years ago. Radha Damodar used to do that. No? Right? So the mind needs constant engagement, and the problem is that when we're slack, then, and off it goes, you know. But that's what Krishna says, right? What's that one that he says? The mind can be the vipur or the bandur in the sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita. How does it begin? Atmanam natmanam. Udarat atmanatmanam natmanam avasadiyat atmaiva hi atmana bandur atmaiva vipur atmana. So the mind can either be our bandur or our vipur. So we can't quiet the mind, right? You know, it's like I tell you, don't think of a monkey. And, you know, the mind's tendency starts immediately. It's very, very difficult to quiet the mind. And if people, like, for example, if you really, I'm not suggesting anyone does this, but if you really try to practice actually Pakka Buddhism, where, you know, they do this meditation and really try to quiet the mind, it's a very, very difficult and painstaking job. So the only really hope we have is Krishna. So we just try to keep the mind engaged in Krishna's service as much as we can. And when the mind goes off into materialism, you know, we have different suggestions at Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you know, the shoes in the morning and the broomstick at night, or maybe it's the other way around. Or neglect, that's another one that we hear in Prabhupada's books. The mind's just going, rah, rah, and you just say, oh, cello. You know, I'm not going to, you know. But it is a very, very dangerous thing. That's why it's such a double-edged sword. Because the mind can just take us, a thousand miles away from Radha Gopinath's lotus feet in just a second. So powerful. Because its job is to protect the false ego. And the false ego, if you think the mind is a problem, think of what a problem the false ego is. Think of what how powerful the false ego. It takes us who are spiritual and convinces us that we're material. Right? It's such an incredibly powerful. If you look at the chart about creation, right, there's the pradhan, and then the Krishna's glance, Mahavishnu's glance, and the jivas and time factor come in, and then there's the mahatattva, and then what's the next thing? False ego. And then the false ego in goodness creates this, the false ego in passion creates that, the false ego in ignorance creates that. This false ego is amazing. And the mind just protects it and says, no, 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 it's okay. You're not Krishna's eternal servant. You're this, you're that, you're anything other than that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a little something about the mind. Krishna Prabhu?
Hari Bol. Sorry, you gave this nice analogy of the child crying for its mother. And you also said that during the course of life, we have small, small problems, which ultimately prepares us for the big, big problem in life, which all of us are going to face sometime or the other. Now, a mother, for all practical purposes, is our spiritual master. So the doubt that comes to our mind, to my mind, is that... And we can't be keeping on going to our spiritual master for every small, small thing, you know, because we also have to be making our own decisions. So the point, the doubt that I have is, at what stage should we go to our spiritual master and find out from him, you know, whether we are on the right track, you know, is it okay to be doing this or that, and so on.
Is Maharaj listening to this class? I better be careful what I say. There's different ways to go to one's spiritual master. Just like one thing that I've always really been enlivened by was a conversation that Srila Prabhupada once had where he said he said that you associate with me. He said the example is that Arjuna had the fortune of associating directly with Krishna on the battle field of Kurukshetra. But he said that same association is available today by anyone who reads the Bhagavad Gita, right? And he says that Krishna's words weren't there just for Arjuna, but the same impact that they had on Arjuna, they can have on us. Exact same impact. So we can also, for example, here in this temple where most of us are disciples of Maharaj, there's different ways that we can associate. Right? For what is the name of that that website that you can download all the lectures? What? Whatever it is. Anyway, there's that very, so all the different lectures that he's given, you know. And also we can understand, even just from the person that I'm initiated by has about 12 disciples. And the person you're initiated by has a few more. Right? So, you know, there may be practical differences, but the mood is still the same, right? Whether we can go personally or we go through people that, because now you have this counseling system, right, where there's people who represent spiritual leadership in that way. But the mood is, you know, but the reality is, you know, we can open up one of Srila Prabhupada's books, we can hear one of his lectures, we can hear one of our spiritual master's lectures. You know, there's one or two sentences you take out of that, and that can be a meditation for weeks. You know, it's our philosophy is so deep. So I don't know if I want to, you know, go further than that, because, you know, in just on a practical level, spiritual masters are also human beings. And, you know, if they have thousands of disciples, they certainly do care for each and every one of them. But there's a practical reality about that also. You know, unless you're, how can you answer 1,000 emails a day? Or, you know, so there may be some practical things, but we should know that someone who's spiritually advanced cares for the plight of people who are less spiritually advanced and are taking shelter of them and helping them make advancements. So whatever practical arrangements that may be there. Is that all right? I hope, Maharaj, that's okay. There was something you said in your question about that I wanted to say something about a child crying for, what did you said? I gave the example of a child crying for his mother and what else?
Basically, the point was that I was just trying to connect these two things that you said. One was the child crying for the mother, and then we having difficulties in our life.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Thank you. You jogged my memory. So the other thing is to be very clear on this point. In every religious tradition of the world, in every really sincere religious tradition, problems, difficulties are true springboards. To success. We may not experience it. The Christians have this idea that you basically have to, experience hell to appreciate the kingdom of God. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that we are purified through the fire of ordeal. Of course, it's easy when someone has a problem and we're not the person having the problem. We say, oh, Prabhu, Krishna's mercy. And they usually reply by saying, I'll give you some of Krishna's mercy. But difficulties are great springboards of success. And cruise control doesn't bring us to Krishna's lotus feet. Bumps in the road, speed bumps, there's a lot of them in Bombay, those bring us closer than just smooth sailing. I don't know, it's after 9, so there's a few other questions, but should I just end? And now, I just do whatever I'm told. Krishnanampur, what should I do? Continue for a few minutes? Okay.
Prabhuji, you were talking about adjusting with the material nature or taking shelter of Krishna. So between two, we choose the first one most of the time of adjusting some knobs and everything.
Right.
I had a question about, you were later on talking about practical life. When it comes to practical life, then we have to adjust certain things.
Yes.
So one of the things which devotees worry and even like is about health.
Yes.
So this is also adjusting with material nature only.
Yes.
So how we go about it? Because taking shelter means we are chanting Krishna's name, we are trying to intensify it, and whatever other things. So up to what level? Some more examples if you can give me, that it can be, or some more light on this I want. Because from practical day-to-day life, actually we have to adjust many things. Otherwise, we cannot even go on.
Absolutely. But the first thing should be to remember Krishna. We really have to take that 7th verse of the 8th chapter seriously. It wasn't Krishna was just joking around when he said it. Right? First think of Krishna. Take shelter of him. Seek his guidance. Seek his approval if it's a very serious decision or something like that. And then deal with the practicalities of life. Look at, the Brahmastra is coming at Arjuna. Right? What is it? Which 7th chapter? First canto? Right? Whatever it was. The Brahmastra, or was it 15th chapter? I can't remember. So the Brahmastra is coming at Arjuna. Now, Brahmastras, they don't go so slow. They go pretty fast, right? So I know what I would do if I saw the Brahmastra. I say, Krishna! Help! Do something! But there's 6 shlokas. I believe it's 6. 6 verses where he's glorifying Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna before he says, oh, and by the way, there's this Brahmastra coming, could you, please. Right? So if he can do that with a Brahmastra coming, but it's really important practice for the big difficulties to first take shelter of Krishna and then deal with the practicalities. There's a tendency to deal practically first and then deal philosophically or spiritually, whatever. First, Krishna. And you have to deal. Prabhupada was very practical. You look at his 26th Second Avenue diary. Kept every single penny, right? Was accounted for, etc. So he definitely was a very practical person. I had a professor once in college who said it's okay to have your head in the clouds as long as you have your feet on the ground. And I thought that was good. That was good. But there does come a time. This is exactly what. Vidura told Dhritarashtra in the 13th chapter of the first canto, he said, you've been just making all these little adjustments. If you get a little hot, you know, you were treated like a king. If you get a little hot, someone can fan you. If you're hungry, someone can drop grapes into your mouth. He said, that time's up. You can't just make these little adjustments. Your liver's defective, right? Your 80% of your life is gone. You've been blind since birth. You're living like a household dog, eating the remnants thrown to you like a dog by Bhima, who killed all your 100 sons. Right? So let's hope that we, the whole idea, you know, Srila Prabhupada wrote these books. Part of it was that we don't have to be in Dhritarashtra's position before we wake up. If we can think of it. And because Dhritarashtra waited so long, he committed offenses and he couldn't attain right complete Naratan level success, right? Prabhupada says in the purport, even though he achieved Brahman. Is that okay? Radhakund Prabhu was looking at me very meanly, like, you know. Okay, one last one.
Sorry, Prabhu. Because we are talking on a practical angle, so I thought, let me ask you a very practical question. Is that we have been given services, and we have to do the services. As you said in the very beginning itself, the hearing and chanting should always be a priority. Yes. So the focus should, Krishna should not be at any stage, has to be compromised.
Right.
But sometimes when you have some services and that services takes some engrossment too much in that service, and there are chances sometimes, it happens also, that we compromise or our consciousness becomes loose in our connection to Krishna.
Right.
And we do wonderfully as far as that service is concerned, but our consciousness has become very loose. We are not able to think of Krishna. And as and when that consciousness has become loose, sense gratification becomes the priority in our life. So when that becomes...
Okay, go ahead.
So when the consciousness has become loose, sense gratification becomes priority. And although externally we might be doing all our Krishna conscious activity, but the charmness and the blissfulness of our consciousness has become completely degraded. At that time, if you're a little bit negligent, our taste of Krishna consciousness goes down and down and down and very fast. So at that critical juncture where we are becoming very loose, what is the short point or what is the shortcut or method by which we come back to our original consciousness to the quickest, fastest way?
We have to be careful. It reminded me of a discussion that, a statement by some Christian saint who said, I have so much to do today. I better double my prayer. Spend twice as much time praying. So that's, you know, I mean, but the point is that if it's, I mean, I not only do I understand what you're saying, I've experienced what you're saying in my own life. Although, of course, you use very absolute words like completely destroyed. You know, I don't know, completely, maybe a little strong. But we have to be careful. I think that's why the Lord created MP3 players. Seriously. He may have created them for, you know, people to listen to so many things, but, you know, this little machine, this big, you can carry every single word of that Srila Prabhupada's ever had recorded. You can carry, you know, so many lectures, bhajans, kirtans, and when you're going here and there in a car or walking there or doing washing your clothes or something, you can put your earphones on, press that little button, and have that opportunity to hear about Krishna even when you're doing, you know, somewhat, you know, ordinary activities in life. And I think that's those are one of the great benedictions, and they've also come down in price so much that you know, most people can you can get them for almost 1,000 rupees, a real small one. And then it's a whole different universe, isn't it, when all of a sudden you're walking down Marine Drive listening to Srila Prabhupada. You know, walking, and he's walking on the beach in Hawaii. Dogs, hogs, camels, asses. You know, and all of a sudden you have this Vaikuntha bubble around you, even though you're in the midst of Billboard Loka and Marine Drive. You know, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.